Video game bang, video game bang, video game bang. Mega Ran. Live from the sack, it's the live, it's a fact. I'm putting rhymes on this track to put my guys on the map. Updates, geek news, tech talk, and reviews. They can summarize it so you ain't gotta breeze through. Listen once and you're forever fans. And I'm not saying it because their theme song features Mega Ran, the ultimate source of all geek media. Other podcasts, they just don't match up. Need proof? You can check the archives and catch up. Stats off the chain, we have rearranged the game. It'll never be the same. Now it's time to feel the
bang. What is up, my pizzas? Corey Vincent here, video game bang, back in the saddle, episode 421. You know, we didn't capitalize on 420 like we should have.
521.
Damn. Oh, that's why.
Wow.
100 episodes.
So you capitalized on a little bit.
You capitalized.
What's 100 episodes, guys? Drop in the bucket. What's up, David Webb? How you been, man?
What's going on, everybody? Happy to be here. Happy to be alive.
We're happy to have you alive.
Yeah.
What happened?
I got sick. Hard. It hit me like a fucking train wreck. And then the worst part is I could feel it like... It was an alive like organism. I feel it moving through my body, so it started in like my throat, went to my head, and then it's like, oh, I'm tired. Here, let me go into your chest so you can't breathe.
Oh God.
Yeah, but I kicked his ass.
That was dramatic.
It was dramatic.
He's also a living organism. Organism. Orgasm and organism, when they mix, you get an organism. He is an organism. Curtis, what's up?
I don't know, man.
I swear to God, it's not even the 420 episode, and I just feel I can't even focus.
We were talking about Matt and Trey earlier. It's kind of funny. Did y'all ever see Orgasmo, that movie that they did?
No.
Okay. Well, Corey talking about organisms and all that stuff made me think of Orgasmo. Y'all should watch that sometime. It's a ridiculous movie. But anyway, what up, everybody? This is your boy, Skip. I am back. What up?
I'm surprised we were able to get you to leave the house, man. 2K20 is out.
Yeah, shoot, I've been so busy because of it that I haven't been able to play it as much, but that'll all change very soon.
And then she is back and in very good spirits. Emma Skies, what's up? What's going on? You seem very cheery and positive lately.
Where the hell did you get that from?
And there it goes.
And then it's gone. All right. It was nice while it lasted.
I feel like we were literally just being mad about, I was being mad about the Joker movie not 30 seconds before we started.
That's how I was baiting you into being like standard. I was like, Emma came in way too cheery. The show's not going to work. Let's piss her off. Let's talk about the Joker in the pre-show. And it looks like it worked. It paid dividends.
Well, okay then.
All right.
That silence is almost as awkward as the anime Colonel Sanders.
So, there's a lot going on in the world today. There's a lot going on in the gaming world. Who would have thought we're in a world where Gears of War 5 is, you know, competing with a KFC dating simulator?
Competing is a strong word.
Yeah, you're right. The dating simulator is much more popular than Gears of 5 is right now.
Gears of 5?
Gears of 5, yeah. It's like Party of 5 meets Gears of War.
I'm so glad that it's not me this time that's fucking words up.
Oh, just you wait.
Just you wait.
Just give it some time.
Yeah.
It's only the first 30 seconds of the show.
Yep. And speaking of the first 30 seconds of the show, we're talking about Oblivion Comics and Coffee, Sacramento's number one spot for comics and or coffee. If you go there, it's the second Monday, right?
I believe.
Yeah. Second Monday. We just did it. How many Mondays have there been so far, too?
Oh, the trivia.
Yeah.
I know. I was like, I don't know where he's going with this.
Yeah, we do trivia over there.
Yeah, and, trivia every second Monday.
We did the video game themed one, and it was awesome. There's so much drama. Like, a lot of the same teams come back, and now there's storylines developing between them. It's like a league. And so the one group of these two guys who come, and they just mop up all the time. They've won most of our trivia nights, and they've always been saying, once it's video games, oh, then it's going to be easy clap. These guys came through, went head-to-head with the SACPC gaming group, went head-to-head with this third group who came, and they thought it was Disney night. They read the wrong invitation, but bless their hearts, they stuck around. We paired them with an awesome listener of the show, and to everyone's surprise, the SACPC gaming group like ran away with it, just about every question. And then the people who showed up for Disney got second place by 1 point.
Dang.
Because of the last category, beating our resident champions.
If we had a Kingdom Hearts questions in there, done.
Boom.
They would have had that.
So if you guys want to have some fun on a Monday night, it's awesome. We actually had Nathan, too, from the SDC show up, and he was one of the guys who put on the big event we were at last week in the Capital Creative Showcase. Go back and listen to that episode. It's a shorter one because we were freaking exhausted from working the show itself. But, man, we made a lot of great contacts and probably witnessed the rise of the next amazing game studio. So go back, listen to the old episodes. Go to Oblivion Comics Coffee. If you say VGB, your video game bang at the front, they'll give you 10% off your order. And they sponsor another little side project me and Kurt's been working on called the Krakoa Cast, which we'll get into a little bit later. So with all that out of the way, I want to talk about this guy that Emma was talking about in the pre-show.
Oh my God. Who this is apparently why I don't bring things up in the pre-show.
No, he this is wisdom. He dropped straight facts. Tell us what this man said.
I closed the tweet because I wasn't planning on talking about it.
You could summarize it.
Basically, this dude came out and he was like, all right, I see you guys want to be content creators, but not everybody can be a content creator because not everybody's willing to sacrifice enough for it. You know what, guys? Sacrifice everything. You got to live like shit. His literal, not a joke advice was, number one, sell your bed and buy a $10 air mattress, which I already have a problem. Where the fuck are you getting a $10 air mattress?
You can find them around.
It's like pre-recession prices? I don't understand.
Craigslist, yes. Goodwill.
It's not a new air mattress. It's not one that doesn't have any holes in it.
I'll sell you one for $10 right now, Emma, if you want to actually start taking content creation seriously.
I do not want it, sir.
Seems like you don't want to be a big content creator.
Number two, not only do you stop eating out, but you only eat $1 ramen / Chef Boyardee.
Oh, I was doing that already. So, so far, I'm 1-1 right now.
Wait a minute. David's 2-2. He's on an air mattress.
And then you buy the cheapest setup you can, so David's still on it.
Yeah, David.
Actually,
$200 PC we built 10 years ago, yeah.
And then there was like something else in there, but it was some bullshit. And then, like, so that was all. You're just like, this guy's fucking insane, right? And then people were replying to him like, he's fucking insane. And he's getting all defensive about it. Like, no, he's serious.
Well, he just read Ninja's book on how to get good, guys.
Oh my God. Well, and then in the comments somebody was like, or you could just get a fucking job, and he literally told it, said, no, don't get a job because that's time you could be spending creating content. I'm like, who are you, sir?
Wow.
Who are you?
I don't think he was wrong about any of that. I think he was kind of right. I mean,
hilarious.
Okay. I'm dead serious. Like, success takes sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's what it took him, like, he's obviously very successful, right?
Clearly.
And so, hey, if you're going to make it as a content creator, you do have to sacrifice something, whether it's your bed, whether it's your relationship with your parents, whether it's, you know, it's going to be something. Nothing is free. Everything takes sacrifice.
I feel like there aren't super young people that listen to this, but hopefully if there are, you recognize sarcasm.
I think, I'm 100%. No, I'm not being sarcastic. I don't know why you guys are thinking I'm being sarcastic. That's what it took.
I think there is an element of truth there. I think what he's saying is a bit extreme.
Very, very.
But there is an element of truth there to where, yeah, maybe you don't eat out every day. You don't go to Starbucks every day.
But that's not what he said.
No, that's what I said. He went the bit extreme, but there is an element of truth there. Is that, yeah, you do cut things out. You do sacrifice some things. If this is what you want to do, it does take sacrifice. But you don't have to go to his...
100% not what he said.
Kurt,
he is just fucking crazy.
What do you think of this?
I'll tell you one lesson I learned. If you want to be something in life, you ain't going to get it unless you give a little bit of sacrifice.
So your bed, too? Like,
and don't forget, he told people not to get jobs. That's where I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
I think, Emma, you're missing the part where we're not saying to follow him. We're saying there is an element of truth.
Right, but like,
it's not the whole truth.
But you can say, like, yes, when you're going to be a content creator, when you want to make a career out of this, this is what you want to do. Like, yeah, there are frugalities that have to be taken. But right. You can't pair that with a story about the guy that's like, fuck your whole life.
Well,
fuck your job.
If people are actually taking him seriously, that's an issue.
He's like, taking him seriously.
I think it's kind of like, I've worked with those old-timer dudes. I was working in radio for a long time, and I would meet these older radio guys who would talk to you like you're a piece of shit. And they do that because when they were coming up, that's how it was. Like, the radio industry was so competitive and people weren't as sensitive as we are today. And you would get yelled at for shit, like, yeah, demeaned and cursed at and thrown out, you know, while a guy's smoking in the you know,
sounds
in the thing.
A wonderful working environment.
It's just a different world. So they automatically, you know, will sometimes get nostalgic for, well, this is how I came up, so that's how everyone else should come up,
which is the worst. Like, I came up getting treated like garbage, so I'm going to treat everybody else like garbage.
And I do agree that's not necessarily right, and I didn't like it when it happened to me, and I wouldn't advocate. But I think that's what's showing through for this guy. He was caught in a moment of passion, of like, listen, you know, he probably did work his ass off to get wherever he's at. So he's just trying to tell you, hey, this worked for me. You got to take that shit seriously. You got to throw your bet out. Like, I don't know if he actually did those things or not. I know a lot of, you know, streamers who there was a guy, Skies, who was a big For Honor streamer who was living in his car a week before, you know, because
I remember that.
Yeah.
But the whole bed thing doesn't make any sense because the bed's not a money.
But let's get back to the specifics of this. The bed, though.
I know. It just dawned on me. I'm like, wait a minute. The bed. Why?
Yeah.
So you don't want to sleep. That's why. So you don't want to go to sleep because it's uncomfortable. You just want to stay up and make content all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There it is.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, again, he went overboard with it. That's very extreme what he's talking about. But the sentiment is that if you do want to make any progress, you know, there will be sacrifices that need to be made. Now, it shouldn't be your integrity, and it shouldn't be your dignity, and it shouldn't be, you know, your health, you know, for the most part. But, you know, there will be some sacrifices in certain things and pleasantries and whatnot that you're used to, like the eating out. That is something that was a little more relevant. Like, yeah, you're gonna curb that back a little bit. You know, you're gonna, this month I'm not gonna eat out so I can buy the stream deck with more buttons, because the next thing to take my production to the next level with my stream.
Yeah,
that's something that's more realistic and and relative. But yeah, he went extreme with it. He got, you know, overzealous, you know, to put it lightly, and you know, that's the sound bite we got from him.
Yes, sir. So, you heard it here, kids. Sell your beds.
Jesus fucking Christ. That guy's insane.
We have a lot of news stories to get to, but before we get to those, we have just, you know, like we talked about last week, there's a lot of really great games coming out, and this week it was time for us to finally get exposed experience to Gears 5 and NBA 2K20, two games which two of our panelists here have conveniently put some time into. I want to start with the drama. So I want to start with Kurt, man. What's going on with 2K, dog? Like, Twitter's blowing up. People are mad. Pros are tweeting about it. What'd they do?
It was, it just wasn't a very good launch. And, you know, I think it did get blown a little out of proportion with some of it, but they had so much negative momentum from the very blatant and obvious, like, slot machines and, like, wheels that they put in for the My Team thing, what I mean? Like, very obvious gambling. Excuse me, packs are one thing, you know, my daughters are into Pokemon cards. When I go buy them a pack of Pokemon cards, I don't know what's going to be in there. Yeah. I have no way of guaranteeing, you know, what's going to be in there. That factory, you know, has certain cards exclusive to drive those prices up to make them more rare and whatnot. So the pack opening thing, even though I'm not a big fan of it, I'm not so harsh on that. But when you got slot machines and stuff like that in there, that's just terrible. So you take that and you roll it into a game where people are playing in My Career and their rep, you know what you're building, what you earn as you're playing the games, getting points and stuff, that's freezing. The VC, the virtual currency, whether people had earned it or they purchased some, that was randomly disappearing.
Whoa.
You take into the fact that people were, like, the loading screens were ridiculous. Loading times were, like, crazy. People were getting timed out. I saw some reports of people getting timed out on local matches.
Damn.
that's what I'm saying.
That defeats the purpose of local matches.
It literally does, because it's supposed to mitigate all that additional loading and going over the web and whatnot to keep things on your local network on that device.
That's, you know, when you get the least, you know, ping and stuff. That's supposed to be for the highest competition.
Right, exactly. Local play. So you take all of that and then you pair it with, you know, Ronnie 2K, who is the face of NBA 2K. You know, he's in the game. You'll see him, you know, no matter when you play. If you play the story mode, he'll be in there. But he made a lot of claims on his caffeine streams that I used to watch just so I could try to get me some free cards. And I came to realize, ugh, caffeine. I don't even have the app anymore. But he made a lot of claims on there. And now there's even like reels of like all these claims that he made.
And things he was saying were going to be in the game.
Right. And like two patches have come out since, and none of those things are in there. So it's looking really bad. It wasn't just the hashtag fix2K20 that was trending number one, I want to say for over 24 hours, but it was also hashtag FireRonnie2K.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
He molinued it. A basketball player who has literally nothing to do with making the game.
Shoot. Well, no, this guy, Ronnie2K, so he's not a developer, but he's like the face of the game. Right. So he's a guy who basically, he's almost like the ambassador. Right. So he'll have basketball players come on, and then they will play with him, and he'll be like, oh, you know, you excited? Like, he's like a hype man for NBA 2K. But the thing is, like, Mike Wang is the dev. He's the game director. Mm-hmm. So when things need to be fixed, people usually go to Mike. But while Mike's actually game directing, Ronnie is making all these claims over here. And then people go over to Mike like, hey, Ronnie said this is going to be in the game. And I know he's not trying to shame him or shade him, but he's like, I never said that.
Oh, no.
It's honestly one of the, I mean, for a game that already, yikes, double yikes, triple yikes.
It's like did he let the fame or like being the face of it kind of get to his head, and he was just kind of saying things for shock value or what?
You know those type of people. You can go and watch their interviews where they're a lot more about their ego and their hype than they are about delivering.
Yeah.
And Ronnie2K has notoriously been one of those people. So it was just him probably either feeling himself or feeling the pressure and writing, you know, checks that his devs can't cash.
That his devs can't cash. So I'll give you my experience of it so far. First night was, I guess, my fault because I forgot the modern age of console gaming. I, you know, got excited. Ah. I got my sprite ready to play. And 23 gig download. Yeah. So I go
That's
back.
That's actually not bad.
I know that
compared to like Red Dead,
23 is like itty bitty.
That's sad for today's state of gaming. So I went and played Overwatch all night, and then checked it before I went to bed, and it was still downloading. So I wait, gave it overnight. Got to play the next day though, and as it was a bummer because I love the story mode, and I loved the pacing of the last story mode where you get a little story, you play a game, get a little story, you play a game,
right.
And it kind of tells, and you make decisions based off those things, and it's awesome.
Right.
This one, I played a game which I had zero like experience for. I didn't know whose team I was on. Was I college? Was I high school? What the heck? I play, it ends, and then I'm no joke, I'm sitting there watching an hour's worth of cutscenes. Yeah. Like, that's just it. It was a Kojima movie. Like,
yeah, it was a feature film.
It was a feature film, and not only that, it wasn't even a good one.
Damn.
Yeah.
Like, the guy decides, you know, Che. You know, my dude, whose name is Che, you know, because I wish I would just let him use our names, because we put him in there, they could say them. They say it during the game, they're like, oh, Corey Vincent, knocking down the three.
Right.
And then when I go into the cutscenes, like, Che.
At least it's a real name and not AI.
AI like last time? Yeah, that's true.
2K, it's like, really?
Did they used to call you AI?
In 2K19, it's AI.
But
what?
In this...
Yeah, it was a thing.
It was a thing. In this one, you know, your homeboy, who's not even like a star player, ends up getting hurt, you know, in garbage minutes.
Yeah.
And then your guy takes a stand because coach is going to pull a sponsorship, and your Rosario Dawson's there, and she's like, I wouldn't do it, but... You know, go ahead and do it if that's what you believe in. Right. And so he does it, and then he gets, like, undraftable, and then he yells at her for making him do it. And she's like, I didn't make you. I supported him. But still, you take his side. Like, it's so, like, paper thin in the drama and stuff. And then all of a sudden, I'm undraftable rookie getting called in to shoot movies and stuff. And then I'm just doing pickup games with NBA players.
Yeah, Kimball Walker and stuff.
Yeah, and they're not saying anything. It's like, is he just not saying anything? Like, because I went to my home, LA, and Kawhi happens to show up. I'm by myself in a high school gym playing basketball.
Kawhi pulls up.
Doesn't say anything to me. We do a one-on-one. I'm like, good game. He looks at me and just kind of goes like this and walks away, like waves his arms around like he was supposed to say something.
Right.
So at this point, I'm like, did you just like, did I get a glitch and he didn't say anything?
Right.
Or
so weird.
Kawhi didn't show up to the studio that day? Like, what the fuck? And so I'm super bummed out about just the story being so weak.
Yeah.
The cameos are cool. They just got a bunch of big actors and right. they're not even acting. Because if you're going to go get Rosario Dawson
yeah.
and you got
Idris Elba. Yeah.
Tom Middleditch, the dude from Silicon Valley.
Yeah, he's the agent.
Real actors in there.
Yeah.
But then they surround them by trash, like awful actors. Like yeah. at one point, a kid walks up to get your autograph. And it must have just been, you know, Ronnie 2K's son or something like that.
It was probably Ronnie 2K.
It was just the worst acting thing, and he's talking to, like, a legitimate actor. It's, why sprinkle in bullshit actor? It's so bad.
Yeah.
The mechanics are the same. Like, I feel like...
What?
I remember in the old days, it really did feel like when a new one came out, there was
just
least...
a reskin 2K19? What? I am shocked.
It hasn't always been like that. It hasn't. Usually the floor's a little shinier. You know, usually the.
For the last three, it's been like that.
The crowd looks like.
When Kurt is saying that, it's.
I was a big fan of 2K19, and I still think mechanically and everything, I'm still on the bus. Like, I'm not.
I'm not
getting off, but I'm not as happy about it as I hoped I'd be.
I do feel some of the different mechanics and some of the different dribbling and stuff like that they put in there. I do feel that difference.
Is it better?
It's better for sure. Yeah, it's better, but it's still things are still so glitchy. I feel like in a month and a half it'll be where it needs to be fully. One of the patches that they just put out did fix one of the issues, but not, you know, the more egregious ones. But 2K19 story was better. 2K20 movement is better to me. And I think the park, and when we run in the park, I think that is going to be the thing that we do feel like a notch up for. And like the regular, because have you played any of the Play Now yet, where you just go in and you just play?
Not yet.
That stuff is like smoother and better and stuff too, yeah.
The one thing scared me though, because they kind of showed part of the park.
Yeah.
And it looked like the exact same park.
It's the same park.
No!
It's the same park. And one of the things that Ronnie 2K, that was one of the biggest things, because when the trailer came out, it was like, people saw the park and they were like, what the hell, it's the same park? And then immediately on the stream, the next day Ronnie was like, because people were in the chat like, why are you doing the same park? He's like, hey guys, it's not the same park. Just wait, guys. Just wait till the game launches. Just wait till you see, you know. And it's literally the same damn park.
No,
the same Gatorade facility, all that.
That's when I noticed it, is when they took me to the Gatorade facility. Yeah. And I was like, this is the weight bench is where the weight bench was. What the hell's going on here?
Yeah.
Let the record show, I called this 6 months ago, and I've never played one of these games in my life.
I got debated, man.
I find it so funny how funny Emma finds it. Like, she's
actually really happy with
herself. She legitimately,
it's like she did it, you know? It's like,
yeah, are you Ronnie 2K?
Yeah. She was putting the bug in their ear. Why don't we just keep the park the same?
I'm Ashton Kutcher, and you're on Punk'd.
Tell me there's barbecue chicken alert.
Nah, man.
Oh, fuck this game.
You should have known that. You got the inside scoop.
Oh, man.
No barbecue chicken alert,
You know what? They're lucky this game really, at the end of the day, what we got to tell ourselves is it's a basketball game, and it's about basketball and basketball mechanics, and that's the part of it. The story modes are just kind of nice to have.
I'll be honest with you. Even though I liked, like, the last year's story mode was entertaining, it still wasn't the best, and... like, that's not why I play. Yeah, like, to me, it's nice that they take a... because, like, at the base level... because NBA Live is still out. As all the issues that people are having with NBA 2K, no one's flocking to NBA Live.
That's true.
You know why? Because NBA Live is crap. And NBA 2K, literally the base of the game, the basketball game, like I said, the Play Now, where you go in and it's, like, the NBA League and the NBA teams. That part of the game is phenomenal.
Yeah.
But if that's the part that you're playing for, why do you buy a whole new game when it's the same as the one before it?
So, well, a few things. One, you do get the new mechanics. So you do get some different, like, different options, different offensive schemes that you can run, different playbooks. You also get different moves and stuff that you couldn't do in the other ones. But I'll tell you, and this is interesting, on the Sacktown Breakdown, we're getting ready to have one of the guys. He is the biggest roster updater in, like, the whole community. And he's actually from out here in Sacramento. Dang. But that's what he does. Like, he didn't even buy, like, I think it was 2K15. He just stayed on 2K15 and kept updating rosters. He didn't even, and then finally he bought 2K19. So, I mean,
that's the way you to do it.
And that's
exactly the way to do it.
And to Emma's point, like, that's something that I tell people. It's the same thing with, like, you know, some technology, like, hey, if you, like, you don't have to buy the newest thing. Mm-hmm. If this is getting the job done for you and you get updates, you don't have to buy the next one. You could just stick with this one. And in some cases, it's applicable. Yeah. For someone like me, who, like, I'm a huge NBA fan, so I always want to be able to do that. Like, I've studied the move. So when there's a new move that comes out, James Harden does this crazy thing, if they put it in the game, I'm one of those people that I want to play.
Yeah.
But
the new one's shiny.
But, huh?
Plus the new one.
It's all shiny.
It's
but,
shiny and new.
Very shiny. But here's the thing. This is the funny thing about 2K. The basketball game itself is the best part. But everything that's built up from there, the My Team, which is the card, the loot box card system thing, the My Career, everything that's built up from there and relies on their infrastructure instead of just the coding and, the and you know, in local play, that's when things usually start to get shaky.
Damn.
Yeah, so they got to fix that.
So when everybody remember this conversation when FIFA 20 comes out. Let's all remember this conversation.
It's funny that she mentions that. You mentioned that because FIFA was supposed to come out earlier, and they pushed it back. Mm-hmm. Which is so funny because that's what everybody's saying that 2K20 yeah. should have done. But with the new bills rolling out that we've been covering and talking about, like, some of the stuff and the way that they even, like, do their business around, like, the loot boxes and, you know, the DLC, I see it fundamentally changing within the next 2 years.
The one thing I wanted to mention, too, because I haven't had a chance to experiment with it yet, but they threw the WNBA teams in there for, like, the first time, right?
Hey, the Monarchs!
Yes, which I they're in there as a, what you call it, team.
Like one of those legacy teams?
Yeah,
like from,
yeah.
From the day?
Right.
They do got them in there?
Oh, yeah.
Face scanned?
Dude, wait, heck
are
yeah,
are the
man.
Monarchs not a thing anymore?
No, they've been gone
the
for
Maloofs
a minute.
Sold them.
What?
Yeah.
This is literally the first I'm hearing of this.
Wow!
Yeah.
It's been years.
It's been years.
A very, very long
but,
time.
Definitely a decade. But I always say this, though. I always say this. The Monarchs bought a championship to Sacramento before the Kings did.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Rubo.
Dude. Shoot. Tisha Pinichero is one of my favorite players. Ruthie Bolton, who was on the team and, you know, part of the team and everything. My daughter are friends with her
she's
daughter.
She's still super invested in the Sacramento community.
Kings and everything. Yeah. Yeah, when I go pick my kids up, I always see him.
Yeah.
I always see her. She's super nice,
Carrie
too.
Lawson. I knew all them people because that's when I worked there.
Yeah.
It's literally been 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
10 years. Why am I just
decade.
Now hearing of this?
Yeah. You're a fake fan.
That's very true.
But
somewhere in my house there's a picture of little Emma wearing a Monarchs jersey and crying.
That's
and I'm
going to
post that and be like me finding out that the Monarchs
have moved on. I've been sold
10
off
10 years ago.
Thanks, Maloofs. Yeah. But I'm going to let the cat out the bag real quick because we talked about the WNBA. Oh. That's what I have for the after show. I wanted you to do a face scan on a WNBA player
today.
Gosh. All right. We'll see. So for people that watch us live on Twitch, we get an after show where things get a little fun and interesting sometimes. And we'll see if Emma does a face scan, which she doesn't realize she can actually fix after the fact. But I'll let Cora tell her more about
that.
Can you
do NBA teams versus WNBA teams?
I'm not sure. I literally have not played with the dummy. Like, I haven't even gotten that far, like, in, like, my career. I've been playing more my team and stuff this summer. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll be following that one. I'll be putting more time into it. So far, a little disappointed, but I'm going to, you know, chew through that story and stuff. I was pretty bummed out because they make you do the combine in your story mode.
Yeah.
And I suck at those freaking mini games. So I'm like I was like ranked 25 in everything. Like, I was the worst dude, so I'm not even going to get drafted.
Just like real life.
Yeah.
Oh, low blow.
Okay, wow.
Get fucking wrecked.
Emma Skies, you've been playing Gears of War 5. That must be why you're so aggressive. You've been playing these games filled with testosterone and anger.
I'm sorry to tell you this. It's called Gears 5, not Gears of War 5.
Oh, God.
I don't know why. Apparently, it's just called Gears 5. I started playing Gears 5. I was really bummed that I was out of town when it, like, first launched, and I couldn't play it immediately. But I did start it on Sunday. I played about 4 hours on Sunday. I played another 4 hours yesterday. So I think I'm about halfway through the game right now because I'm at the end of Act 2.
Okay.
So I believe I'm about halfway through the main campaign so far.
And what are your thoughts? First of all, let's establish what you play these games for. Are you playing for story or do you ever play, like, in the competitive modes and stuff?
So I play all of my games for the story. But I have spent a lot of time in Gears Online over the years. That was, like, probably my other main game other than Halo back when I was, like, really hardcore doing competitive Xbox Live stuff all the time. Yeah, Gears and Halo were my mains.
I tried to play Gears competitively, but, like...
I mean, I wasn't good, but...
It was very, Like, we talk about how aggressive people are and how toxic communities can be. And I was playing on Halo hardcore at the time. Yeah. Like, I had nothing to lose. I was one of those toxic kids. I'd go to Gears and be like, holy shit, this is another level of toxicity.
And I'm like 10.
And you're even worse off. And I'm sitting in there. And why would I be playing this game when I could play a game I'm slightly less shit at and go back to Halo? So you are in the...
So I've been playing Gears since, like, launch day of the first one way back when. So I'm attached to this. The only one I didn't play was Judgment because nobody fucking asked for that game. Nobody asked for that game. Nobody wanted it.
Are you
was
playing
the
this...
pop one?
No.
Is that the one where Baird is the main guy?
Yes. Yeah. That's the one where Baird... And nobody gave a shit about Baird.
Why'd they choose the least, like, appealing character? Like,
I don't know.
If they would have put Coltrane on the cover of that bad boy, choo-choo. I'm on it.
Jesus Christ. No, so Gears 5 has actually been really good. It starts out with a previously on, which is really nice because A, I didn't remember much, and B, I didn't finish Gears 4.
Thank you.
I know. I really
was
felt
the story
really,
that bad, or you just got busy?
I just got bored with it. Like, I thought I got halfway through and I was bored, but then I'm watching the previously on and I was like really close to the end apparently. So I'm like, I should probably just go back and spend the extra 45 minutes to finish this game.
It's probably mostly cutscenes.
Probably. But no, so I've actually been really enjoying it. It's been, you know, I haven't touched Gears since Gears 4, so I haven't, like, gone back and played much of the online with that or anything, so I'm, like, jumping back into Gears for the first time in quite a while, and I'm having a lot of fun so far.
Are you running through solo, or are you doing it with a group?
No, I'm running through solo.
And is the AI as terrible as it was in the last one?
Oh my god, I want to kill Dell. Motherfucker stands in front of my shot 90% of the game. I swear to god. Like, honestly, 90% of this game while I'm shooting is me yelling at Dell to move because he's standing right where I'm trying to shoot. Or I'm dead, and I'm, like, right in front of him, and I'm screaming at him to revive me, and he's not doing anything.
This is why I'm not afraid of Skynet yet. Because until NPCs actually get, like... intelligent.
Well, hang on. Have you seen these robots that they're building? They can do parkour. They can run.
No.
They can jump. They can lift heavy shit. They can open doors. Yeah. So be afraid of Skynet.
Boston's just gonna come out of Boston.
While David hasn't been playing video games, he's just been falling down the rabbit hole of conspiracy theories of artificial intelligence.
That's what
Jesus. But yeah, Gears 5 has been a lot of fun so far. So the first act, I really, really enjoyed. The second act, I liked half of it. And the last couple missions of it are just dragging really, really long. Like, they're dragging out longer than they need to be. One of the, like, the main parts of Act 2 ends up being in, like, one area, and you're just going back and forth to the same places in the same areas over and over again, like, collecting shit. And I'm just like, oh my god, let this mission be over.
That's pretty
annoying. It be done. So I'm, like, at a point right now where I'm annoyed with the game, but I do remember the first 4 hours I played I really enjoyed, so we'll see how Act 3 goes.
Yeah, if I remember, like, what was appealing about the Gears games was that, you know, the stories were big, huge monsters, and then you could lose somebody at pretty much any time. Like, they would not be afraid to just murk characters that you've come to know and love. The Carmines were always a joke.
Over and over and over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they would constantly just kill your Carmines, but then they would throw some actually, like, meaningful ones, and I actually... got really sad on Dom's character arc, like in Gears 3. So are those characters we know and love a part of this, or are we way past them and now we're...
I mean, Marcus Fenix is still part of it because JD, who is the main character, at least in the first act, he's the main character for most of it, but you play as JD. JD is his son.
Okay.
And then Baird is still in the game, but he's like a scientist now. Like, he's got a lab coat and shit.
Wasn't he the idiot before?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know how that happened.
He was
like
the good looking idiot guy.
But he's still there. Jack, the Ripper, the robot from the first few games, is not there, but there's a new Jack.
Okay.
And it's like having the old Jack back. Okay. Coltrane is in it. We run into him, I think, in Act 2. Not really a spoiler. I think he's in the trailers. We have new characters, which is what I was super excited about, because Raul Coley is in this game.
Oh, yeah, like, your guy.
Unfortunately, he's a fucking prick. I was so upset. I texted Rachel because she and I are both, like, obsessed with iZombie, so obviously we love Raul Coley.
When they
I was
take
like,
the character you love and
yeah,
make him
I was
a villain.
Like, no, he's an asshole.
It just means he's showing depth in his acting.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's just an asshole in real life, and that's just...
I couldn't speak to that.
Wow. But yeah, I've been having a lot of fun with it. I will still be playing it. It's the combat. I mean, if you like combat in Gears, it feels very much like Gears.
Yeah.
Like, in the best kind of way. Somebody in my chat was actually saying that they had been playing it, and they were like, it feels like I'm playing Gears 1 again, and that's a good thing.
So you're going to start paying attention to Gears of War Esports?
No.
All right.
Shot my shot. Not for that. But somebody came into my chat and ruined the ending for the game for me. So.
Welcome to Twitch.
Yeah.
Yep.
Twice now this has happened. Twice.
Yeah. Stop reading Twitch chat.
You got
Sell your bed.
You got to. How else am I going to hit 100 subs?
Thinking about that guy, he's almost as... Remember that one guy at the last TwitchCon who got on a panel and is like, not to say that I'm better than, you know, the people who watch my stream, but like, they're not as good as me. You know what I'm saying? We got some big news in the esports realm. Esports is coming to the Olympics, baby. It's finally...
It's not.
Not quite, but it's close. Closer than it was before. It's got big name Intel. They're coming up with the Intel World Open, dropping $500,000 split between two games, and they chose Rocket League and they chose Street Fighter V, which I'm a little confused about.
Every single headline for this is clickbait. It is not coming to the Olympics. It's not a thing. Esports is not in the Olympics.
Well, it's not like you're going to get a medal, but it will be... Tokyo.
That's not the Olympics. Being like in Tokyo does not mean you're in the Olympics.
It's kind of like...
Is everybody in the stands in the Olympics?
Is during San Diego Comic-Con, across the street, they have Nerd HQ. It's like that. Nerd HQ is not...
No, because Nerd HQ is actually acknowledged by Comic-Con and promoted by Comic-Con.
What's the Petco one? Because that's different.
Petco Park?
Yeah.
That's the party for Comic-Con.
All right, then never mind.
They say we're excited to... This is what they said. The esports director.
Uh-huh.
He says, we're excited Intel is bringing the Intel World Open esports tournament to Japan in the lead up to the Olympic Games.
That does not say in the Olympics. That means in the week before the Olympics.
Which is fine. Like, it's closer. As we explore the engagement between esports and the Olympic movement, we are looking forward to learning from this event and continuing to engage with the passionate esports community from around the world.
I hope esports never touches the Olympics.
Why? You seemed really upset in the pre-show. You said something really strange. You were like, if chess can't be in the Olympics, esports can't be in the Olympics.
If chess cannot be in the Olympics, esports cannot be in the Olympics. Because it's the same argument. People have been talking about bringing chess to the Olympics for decades. Decades. And if we can't get chess in the Olympics, we sure as fuck shouldn't be getting esports in the Olympics.
Well, is chess a sport?
It's the same thing. It is a game.
No.
It's all games. It's the Olympic Games.
That's a solid point. I'm not going to... That's a solid point.
That's actually... Yeah, there we go. David's logic beats everything.
Good night, everybody.
Kurt, why do you think it was Street Fighter V of all the games right now?
Why Street Fighter V?
Yeah.
I would guess because of its tenure... and its status in the fighting game community, as well as it having a rule set that's pretty firm and kind of has been established. And it's, you know, it's kind of interesting. It had a similar thing around its launch. It was kind of controversial, but since then, they've been doing nothing but refining and refining. So I just think it's a steady enough system to where they can trust it to be in there. I think Rocket League is kind of self-explanatory. It's already... based upon another game, you know, obviously football or aka soccer. So that's pretty straightforward. But as far as just Street Fighter, I think if they were going to do a competitive game, it's one of the longest running. It has one of the most established rule sets. And as far as the game in its current iteration, it is a very stable build.
Yeah. That's true. It's also got, like, just a dying scene. Like, I would have much rather seen Smash. Like, when I was going through this, I worked my way from basically the top to the bottom and was thinking, why is it not these games? Because Intel, I think they're working with... who are they working with to run this tournament? Like, IEM or something like that, who is kind of known for their Counter-Strike tournaments. But I think Counter-Strike's too violent. Right, it's about terrorists and planting bombs and stuff. So when you got the whole world together in one event, you're celebrating a video game about... Okay.
Video games are not violent, everybody. Let's play terrorists and FBI.
Yeah, that game's never been super, like, friendly.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want to play some Trouble in Terrorist Town?
What about, like, League of Legends? I wonder why they wouldn't have chose League, for example. That seems like it would have been a much smarter choice. It's got a huge scene. They definitely get the eyeballs on it. But it could have to do with Riot and LCS.
Who wants to work with Riot?
Yeah, exactly. They're kind of like Overwatch League, which is probably why it's not Overwatch, because Blizzard would need their huge cut, and they don't play nice with, like, the other people like Intel and IEM.
And where's Capcom from?
Capcom is from Japan. So they're kind of
the light bulb just
there. We go. And, but then Rocket League makes sense. But I don't know why it couldn't have been Smash. I think Smash would have been the move here.
It's just a little too controversial, especially with all the DLC that keeps dropping and characters being broken upon, like, you know, the DLC dropping. It would just be too controversial. And like Jay just said in the chat, Capital Fight District J, Street Fighter is huge in Japan.
Okay. Yeah, those dudes are celebrities, I suppose. You get Tokido over there and Daigo, all these Daigo, still, yeah. And then, you know, they are like celebrities. So, okay. I'm sold. I get it. I'm excited for it. I'm so happy we could finally officially say that esports is in the Olympics. So,
no, you can't.
Everybody clap it's it up for true. Yourselves. And we did it.
And I swear to God, like in the lead up to the Olympics, I'm going to have to like smack every person in the face that says, oh, esports are at the Olympics. I'm just going to have to fucking punch
Why
people.
Why can't you just accept joy?
No.
Why can't you let people like things?
No, can't like this. Unacceptable. Not okay. You can like it. You just can't lie about it. And saying esports is in the Olympics is a lie.
All right. We have a few more stories to get to. One I wanted to talk about was a new game because I just purchased Dead by Daylight. Emma, you played
hey,
this.
Proud of you.
Nexi loves it. I haven't played it yet. I'm looking forward to it. But there's going to be a new version for the Resident Evil franchise. Have you heard about or seen any of this yet?
I have not.
So it is called Project Resistance, and it's like a spinoff. And it's going to be in closed beta in the first week of October. And it's the same thing, 1v4 type of thing. But it takes a different approach on, like, the monster. There's, at this point, four characters. Mm-hmm. Valerie, who is like a healer. January, who's a hacker. Tyrone, who kicks things. That's actually in their descriptions. It's like Valerie, a support character who could heal things. January, a hacker who can disable security cans and impede the mastermind. Tyrone has a powerful kick. And then Samuel throws a flurry of punches. So you have a kicker, a puncher guy, a hacker, and a medic.
What more could you need?
They really
during the zombie them. Outbreak.
So
what
can
more
the kicker
could you
not punch?
No.
No.
And the puncher can't kick.
No, absolutely
it's not.
Not
kick puncher.
But are his punches as strong as kicks?
Hey, there it is.
Insane.
This it seems like the monster too, instead of like being on the ground and running around, it's gonna take that. Do you guys remember Fable Legends when that was supposed to come out? It was supposed to be the same thing where it's like four heroes and one mastermind who sends minions and things. So the guy who is the villain or lady is not playable in the third person. Instead, it's controlled by a series of security cameras that overlook the level, and you can summon traps and zombies in strategic locations.
That's kind of cool.
Eventually, the mastermind could also summon Mr. X, if you guys have seen that dude from the Resident Evil franchise. And he will be playable in the third person. So you do shit to unlock him, then you get to go ground level into the game and try and take people out.
I feel like this is reverse Five Nights at Freddy's.
I've never played that. What's that?
Because like Five Nights at Freddy's, you use all the security cameras to look for the monster, and then that's how you hide from him.
Oh, brilliant.
It's Dead by Daylight. I've watched some streams. I haven't played it. Do you have classes like that? Do you have a healer, or do you have...
So each of the people that you can play as far as the survivors, have a different sort of skill set and a different sort of... I don't really venture out of what I play very much because I'm scared. But everybody kind of has a different sort of thing that they're good at, but for the most part...
It's like, not healer or kicker.
I don't think so.
Gotcha.
Nexi would probably know better than I do.
Evolve was like that.
Yeah.
Evolve
had classes. You can play the support, you can play the trapper, you can play the DPS. Like, so I like the idea that they're going back to that, and I like the twist where it's not just you as the monster chasing people. It's you, like, messing with them.
And I already prefer Dead by Daylight being able to play different killers.
Yeah.
Like, I already prefer, like, even just based on that, I already prefer Dead by Daylight.
Next up in the news.
Hold on.
What do we got?
I want to interject a little bit.
Oh, please do.
Street Fighter.
He's going back.
I was like,
we are going to the Olympics.
And now it's Capcom. It's Capcom.
Yeah.
So that's
oh, yeah, because this is Capcom.
Yeah.
Resident Evil 2 being my favorite video game of all time. this really interests me. And what's funny about this is when I had my 3DS, which I still have a 2DS, but when I had my 3DS, and actually, oh, no, I think I did sell the game. But one of the games that I played most next to Smash Brothers was Resident Evil 3D The Mercenaries. And it was that shooter. Well, basically, that's what it was. Like, you go, you had to take out all the zombies. You had to take out some big bads. It was timed, all that stuff. So this, like, usually I'm not into games like Dead by Daylight. And I'm just going to finally really play Overwatch now that it's on the Switch. But yeah. This is something that when I heard it got announced, really excited me. I watch, like, the history of Resident Evil, like, videos and stuff on YouTube. I'll fall asleep to them, wake up to them. I'm really, really, really into, like, even the comic books and stuff. I'm really into Resident Evil. So I'm pretty personally pretty excited about this.
Nice. All right, dope.
Yeah.
A game that I know everybody at home is very excited about. There is an official I Love You Colonel Sanders dating simulator.
So I saw the image of this while I was skimming Twitter today, and I just automatically assumed it was some weeb that made some weird, awkward anime-style picture of Colonel Sanders.
I just want to make it clear to everybody listening to this that I, when I was making the notes, I scrolled past this many a time, and I was not going to make you listen to this, and here we are.
This is a real game, a KFC spokesperson told PC Magazine. The game is built like an anime-style visual novel and will let you romance KFC's mascot.
I hate everything about this.
This is ahead of its time. This is a big brain marketing move like I have never seen in my life. Everyone talks about Wendy's, you know, kind
KFC's
of having a market.
KFC's marketing is just weird all around.
This is genius. Like, and the fact that some kid or whoever at KFC corporate had this idea and was able to get it through the red tape to actually produce this, to let Colonel Sanders KFC, you know, rebrand basically their character into this anime romance video game is just,
I mean, you gotta know too that KFC is huge in Japan.
Is it really?
KFC is really big in Japan. It's actually, I want to say it's Japan, where it's like a Christmas tradition. A lot of people eat KFC for Christmas, like their Christmas dinner.
It's because you don't have Popeye.
Because of like some marketing campaign that KFC ran years and years and years ago.
Yeah.
But like KFC is a really big deal in Japan.
That's dope.
So that's why you're like, why is this anime? That's why.
I mean, it is finger licking good.
You know how we talk about...
Oh, I don't like the connotation there.
It takes new meaning.
How did none of you go there?
Because we're not freaks.
Yeah,
I'm not thinking that way.
No.
Dang, Emma.
I literally said
wow.
Kurt is the last one that would be going there.
Yeah. I have children. I have daughters.
Can you guys Twitch clip that one? Jeez, Emma.
I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah, so are we.
I think you just made yourself uncomfortable for once.
How do you think we feel? So, that's a good point, though, about how big it is in Japan for this.
I didn't
so,
know that either.
Yeah, they created this legit anime-style dating simulator that will let you romance Colonel Sanders. The game is called I Love You, Colonel Sanders, a finger-licking good dating simulator. It has, like, an unsettling, young, handsome version of Colonel Sanders drawn as an anime character. It's available on Steam for free. So... go get it now.
Place is free.
Please don't. Go. Please don't.
Well, I think, you know how we often bag on how terrible movie games are? We haven't even really begun to talk about how bad fast food video games are.
Lord.
It's a thing. There's a lot. Like, Burger King came out with a whole bunch of them for the Xbox, as recent as the Xbox 360. Sneak King. I remember, I mean, it's a little different, but 7-Up. Had a video game
Chex
back
Mix
in the old day.
Had one.
I remember that one.
I played Chex Mix because it was a Doom skin.
Yeah, that's right. So like
that was actually fun. I played that. I didn't play Doom. I played that.
Wow.
I think what's great is that this is so self-aware. Back then, those games were trying to like, we're going to be the next Mario.
Yeah.
We're going to turn our 7-Up little dot guy into the next Mario. Right, and, you know, they were taking it serious. Mm. This is a total satire. It's an amazing joke. The game's probably 30 minutes long, you know, but it's just a very successful stunt that's going to have the gaming community actually talking about it because I've missed the boat on dating sims. I haven't played any. Have you?
That's fine.
Have you tried it?
I've played a few.
Which ones?
I played some of the Senran Kagura, I think it is.
Weeb.
I'll take that. I mean, I couldn't help it because it was going around just like how interesting they were and how they were sweeping. And it was like, it just looked like such a low quality game. And it was. But I have played other they put out some Senran Kagura games that were is actually like some pretty solid gameplay.
What was the one that was really scary?
Doki Doki.
Tinder? Doki Doki.
It wasn't scary.
It wasn't?
No, Doki Doki was, because I watched somebody else play it because everybody was like raving about it, and I was like, I'm not gonna play this, but I wanted to know what was going on. It's boring for 4 hours, and then it's creepy for 20 minutes, and then it's over.
I'm looking at a list of the best dating sims.
That's it.
I guess I did play one, because there's a free game on Steam called Emily is Away.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And I guess they're considering that one a dating sim. I figured it would have to have, like, anime characters and stuff on
to
it.
To be a dating sim?
Yeah, but this game was just interfaced like the old AOL. It was a really cool game.
One of the coolest games that I played within the last 10 years was kind of in this vein. It was like a self-aware type thing. There's a musician called Kavinsky. And he has, like, this whole persona where he's, like, a zombie. He, like, died driving a Ferrari, like, on his, like, prom night. And him and the car fuse together. And he does, like, all this 80s styles music. And he did a video game that was, like, combination beat-em-up, combination, like, racing game. And it was really, really cool. Definitely one of the funnest games I've played in the last 10 years. So that's kind of reminded me of it. Oh, by the way, live right now. So I just asked my friend Tommy T, who lives between here and Japan, how popular is KFC in Japan? I'm reading for you live, like what he wrote. He said, "Hey, it's pretty big. I suppose I hardly eat there, though. The last time I went, I had value meal in beer, LOL."
Oh, yeah, it's
no
beer at KFC.
Yeah. So, well, there you go. Thanks, Tommy T.
We'll get into some of the news stories you put on there, Emma. Definitely not as awesome as a KFC dating sim, but we do got some Sea of Thieves news.
Yes, and I will tell you right now, the only reason I know any of this is because a monkey pooped on somebody.
That'll get
our attention. Why did we lead with that?
No, we should have led with this story.
The Smuggler's Fortune update is out for Sea of Thieves now, and it brings in pets, so you can get monkeys and you get parrots. So they had their like developers, I don't know what they call them, little things that basically the developers get on and they just talk about everything. It's one of the things that I love about Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, they've done a great job.
They're
a weekly show where they basically give you like what they're changing, why they're changing. Like, it's just a shame the game's not more popular.
So while they were doing their like little roundtable talk about it, they had a monkey on. Like, I don't know, somebody just brought a monkey. And so it's chilling with them, it's hanging out, and it's like the guy that's asking the question, the guy that's moderating it, is talking, and then this monkey just vomits all over him.
Wait, was it poo or vomit? Because
it was both.
Oh, wow.
It was both.
Both ends? Oh.
Jeez.
I just looked at the video and I was like, what's going on? Why did this get linked? Oh, my God. It's hilarious. It gets on the guy's face. It's horrible. It's horrible.
That's awful.
That's really the story here. Sea of Thieves haven't had an update, but it's that too. And then I guess at some point the monkey also pooped on him. Hilarious. But yeah, you can get parrots and monkeys in Sea of Thieves now. You can have pets. I saw another headline that said, yes, you can shoot your pets out of a cannon in Sea of Thieves.
Can you grief other people's pets?
I don't know. I don't know how much you can interact with other things.
Okay, Vic.
Damn.
That's the only thing that could bring me back. Is like, is there something that somebody likes enough?
Monkey I can fighting go... rings?
Yeah. You jump into Sea of Thieves game with Corey. All of a sudden, he's on the ship with a bunch of monkeys trying to make them fight each other.
You just find me at the big island being like, you want a monkey fight?
Jesus.
Hey, friendly.
That reminds me of Snakes on a Plane. If you ever watch the edited version, like on Comedy Central or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I've had it with these monkey fighting snakes. and then Kojima got you some Death Stranding news. We can close out with that one since we want to put everybody to sleep.
Oh, I got something.
And I got after something. That.
Oh,
after his.
Oh.
Yeah.
Unless you want the ender, you can have the ender.
Either way.
Okay.
I'm wondering if we have the same thing.
We have the same birthday.
So it might
be part of the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Tokyo Game Show is this week, and Kojima let us all know he's bringing at least 49 minutes of footage.
It's an oddly specific
49
number.
Minutes of gameplay?
I don't know, because he posted like a picture. He had taken a picture like of his computer, and it was like in some video editing software, and he had the Death Stranding logo, and all it said was it's 49 minutes. And if you zoomed in, you could see that the file was titled TGS Trailer.
Ooh, okay.
So, if knowing Kojima, if it is 49 minutes of gameplay, that's the entire gameplay.
Wow. Yeah.
That's all you're
100%.
Well, the rest of it is cutscenes.
He talked about, he tweeted something about, like, he really wants people to come into this knowing absolutely nothing. That's how he thinks this game should be played.
He's done a great fucking job of that.
Wow, hilarious. But he understands that people want to know what they're getting, so a big part of it is going to be, like, this is showing you what gameplay is like, how the gameplay mechanics are going to work, how the flow of the game is going to work.
What's the plot? Also, what's the plot?
I don't want to know that. I don't want to know.
What the hell are we doing in this game?
We might get it because they have three presentations over Tokyo Game Show. One is 50 minutes, one is 30 minutes, and one is just with like some Japanese voice actors for the game.
I don't think you're going to know the story after you play the game. I think it's going to be one of those.
I think it's going to be one of those. What did I just play?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you play again.
All right, David, what did you have?
I'm going to talk about fidget spinners.
Oh, no. End the show.
There's new fidget spinners coming out, guys.
Okay. I'm into
really
it.
Cool.
I'm intrigued.
All right.
They can take pictures.
Do you have stock in them?
And make phone calls.
Wait, what?
What?
Oh, you're hilarious.
The new iPhone.
You're hilarious.
Oh, we do got some iPhones.
The dumbest shit I've ever
I'm really
heard.
Glad that's where it went, because I really thought David was getting paid under the table from some fidget spinner company. No, so what is the deal with this new iPhone? I saw it, and it looks like the Splinter Cell helmet.
Yeah, it's, and you know what? It does. It looks like that. So the new iPhones dropped. Yeah, the iPhone 11, the iPhone 11 Pro, the iPhone 11 Pro Max.
That's excessive.
So
it's Apple.
I mean, like last year, they came out with the XR, the XS, the XS Max. So for this year, they added for the Pro, both Pro models, they added a third camera. So it's an ultra wide angle camera. The idea of it, I think, is really cool from a photography standpoint. It provides a lot of cool like options and ways to take pictures that, you know, you normally have to like lean back to get more of the shot. Now you just pop into the ultra wide. It actually has it so when you're zooming, you can zoom out instead of just zooming in.
Gotcha.
So you zoom out to a 0.5 focal length, and that puts you into the ultra wide angle. And the samples of shots that they were showing, it was just like, it's awesome. It's super cool.
I loved it. One phone I had a few phones ago on the Android had an ultra wide. Oh, sorry, not you, Apple Watch. It had an ultra wide on the front.
Yeah,
but like those selfies that when you have like, you know, when you have like a group of people and it's, you always have to give it to the person with the longest arm.
Yeah,
it was super handy. So having it on there, seems like it'd be nice. Seems like one more thing they could break.
How much is it?
So the Pro starts at $999.
They are out of their minds.
Well, that's what the other ones.
That's what like all phones cost these days.
This is out of their minds
for flagship phones.
What kind of phone do you have?
Price
I have an iPhone 8.
I'm sure when it came out,
I'm
it
on
was
a contract,
probably
$9. So I'm not paying $1,000 per phone.
I think hers was $799.
You're paying worse because you're paying like fees and stuff on it.
$1,000. The 11 is coming out at $699.
Okay.
The 11 Pro starts at $999, and the Pro Max starts at $1,099. The design though is the weird one. I don't know. To me, because I'm correct me if I'm wrong. I'm 99% sure the Note 10 or the Galaxy S10 has three cameras on the back, and they have it horizontally. So I feel like it can be done, and I think it's a weird way to make it like this triangle thing.
It's probably just an aesthetic thing.
It's 100% aesthetic. Everything
it looks
else
cool. Yeah, all I've seen so far is that, and I have the XS Max, and I've been really happy with this thing. And then I saw that, and part of me was like, damn, my phone's a piece of shit. I want three cameras like that. And I think that's how Apple works.
That's the thing.
You have this really sick, like, then I snapped out of it and realized this phone's still fucking awesome. I'm going to ride this thing into the ground for as many years as possible. But when it first comes out, they do such a good job, like, with the picture.
Of making you,
the different colors and the branding and what it says on there, the powerful words. I'm like, fuck, my phone sucks. I need that one.
I need a new one, yeah. I'm probably, I have the XR, and I might upgrade to the 11, because the 11 is going to have two cameras, so it's going to get me my second camera back.
So you won't have the 3 one?
I won't have the 3 one. Okay. I might go to the Pro, but we'll see. I don't know. But yeah, I just wanted to drop that in there.
Anything else big come out of there? Like, when will we be getting that 14 update?
13 is coming out September 19th.
Okay.
And the phones drop on the 20th.
I just want somebody to get it and then immediately drop it outside the store.
That's happened.
I've done that.
I know.
A lot.
I love it.
You did do that. You did that with the phone that has that. It was the V10.
Yeah, it was the V10.
The LG V10.
Yeah.
Those were cool phones.
Luckily, T-Mobile like was solid. They won me as a customer forever. Yeah. When I went back in there, I wasn't crying, but I was definitely like, dude, bro, I just opened it. Like, can I please exchange? And the guy like took it as a return.
Yeah.
And like pretended he didn't see the big like spider web of crack all up it. Because he couldn't take it in. So the implication was when it got to headquarters and it was broken, you know, they would say it broke in the shipping back to the store. Dude was a complete homie. This was in Las Vegas.
He just got him fired. Even said,
no names. Do you know how many T-Mobile stores are in Las Vegas? They're everywhere. There are diamond dozen in there. It's like 7-Eleven.
Jean Legere doesn't listen to the show.
No.
Not after what happened at E3. Kurt, I'll give you a second to interject on the iPhone stuff since I know you're an Apple head.
Since I work for the company, I can't talk about it.
Yeah. At all?
No, I'm not allowed to talk about it. Like, especially on the record, I'm not allowed to talk about
That's fucking awesome, actually.
Yeah, it's part of trying to keep my job.
So. I can neither confirm nor deny.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
That's cool.
But you can talk about some...
I can talk about some Nintendo Direct news, and there was a lot of things that happened on Nintendo Direct, but the only thing I wanted to bring up is Terry Bogard coming in from Final Fight.
Oh, we talked about it. Ken with a hat.
Yep. Yep. So you said Ken with the hat. Terry's more of his own person. But I could see that because he's got the blonde hair and the ponytail and all that stuff. But I was pretty excited, especially since I wore my energy jersey.
Oh, yeah, man.
Repping America because it is 9/11.
Yes, sir.
And Nairo on the back. So I wanted to just drop that in there real quick. That's all.
And one last bit of business before we go is... Curtis's Comic Corner is back, everybody.
Cheer, cheer, cheer. So shout out to Oblivion Comics and Coffee for providing us comics for us to review for y'all. Do you have your copy with you? Because mine's is, hey, there we
I
go.
Do.
Look at that. My man Corey is prepared because I picked up his copy when I went to get my copy today. Powers of 10, number 4. It was really interesting. So I had started reading it on stream right before I came over here. And then when I got over here, I hadn't finished. And I was like, Corey, did you finish? He said, I did. It was really confusing. And I was like, ooh, I can't wait
That's
to finish reading it.
That's how you know it's going
to
be good.
Yeah. So I ended up reading it, reading it before the stream. And it's definitely a setup book. I want to be, you know, straightforward with that. But what is setup and some of the things that we were talking about on the Krakoa cast, if you guys aren't listening to that or tuning into that, make sure you tune into the Krakoa cast where we break down House of X and Powers of 10 every week when they come out. But Mr. Sinister finally shows up. They had been talking about him. They'd been talking about the chimera that he had been making and all the gene swapping and switching and, you know, combining that he was doing. And now we finally get him here. And At first I was kind of thrown off a little bit because it wasn't the normal Mr. Sinister type thing.
Is this a recon of that character?
It's not a retcon of the character. The character has different personality and different personalities because of all the gene swapping and multiplying of himself.
Okay.
That he's been doing. That's why when you come in, when they came in, we're not going to spoil the whole thing. We're going to get deep into it on the Krakoa cast, but he came in and... He was met by a Mr. Sinister, and then we saw Magneto dispose of that Mr. Sinister, go in, and then there was an additional Mr. Sinister, and then from there, we found that there were multiple, and there was a little infographic kind of breaking down why. And I love it, because Jonathan Hickman, he does these things he very much mocks society from a very, societal standpoint. So all of, the gossip news, Mr. Sinister, he was wearing red shoes.
Before we get there, just to say, his character is fabulous.
Oh, totally
He
fabulous.
Is the most flamboyant character. Oh, yeah. I remember him as Sirius.
Yeah, he's
from the cartoon.
And I think the original one is still going to be Sirius, but all of the not all of them, because remember the one at the door was also Sirius, but two of the ones when we got inside were very much flamboyant. It was like Liberace.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, minus the piano.
He kept talking about his cape and how big his cape was, and all this stuff, and then. You're getting into this whole time, we've been getting these awesome little infographics, you know, that feed us information.
Right.
And the entire segment in this book for Mr. Sinister
was a gossip column.
Was written just like a gossip magazine.
I know, I loved it.
It was funny. And that was another page I had to read like 6 times. Who are they talking about?
Right.
You know, and pull up a Google page and figure it out. But it's definitely a strange direction to go. And like you had said, there's some little Easter eggs I can't wait to talk to you about on the next Krakoa cast.
I am very much looking forward to it. So for everybody who is not, make sure you're tuning in for the Krakoa cast, where we're breaking down these books and really getting in depth every week, Corey and I. And again, shout out to Oblivion Comics and Coffee for providing us with these books. And this not being the only one, I actually wanted to shout this one out too.
He's reaching into his awesome Street Fighter bag.
All right. So I didn't pass this one around because this is a sacred book right now, and it's Corey's copy. But this is a book that you will find at Oblivion Comics and Coffee right now. Laura just ordered some. It is called The Fade Out. It is by Ed Brubaker. It is easily one of my favorite comics ever. If you want to call it a graphic novel, you can. This one I'll pass around. It is very different from majority of the stuff. You've heard me talk about Criminal before. This one is like noir 1940s, 1950s Hollywood. A writer wakes up to a dead starlet and does not remember what happened and starts working backwards from there. And he experiences, you know, the fixers of the studio trying to cover things up, different actors and stuff like that that are higher up, you know, like high, you know, high profile figures, kind of having some strange behavior. And his buddy, who actually is a writer as well, he's a ghostwriter because he currently has writer's block. All of these things kind of coming together in this very noir, very beautifully drawn and colored book. So Ed Brubaker is incredible. He wrote an episode of Westworld for season one. He just did a project on Amazon with Nicholas Winding Refn of Drive. So he's coming up right now. He's a really, really awesome writer, and I just wanted to highlight that. And I was so interested in it, I told Laura at Oblivion Comics and Coffee, and she ordered a bunch. And the first issue is only a buck. And I also told my buddy Ryan, who's in the chat, hey, righty. So anybody who's interested in kind of stuff like that and wants kind of a different approach to comics and graphic novels, and if you're into that whole scene of the 40s and the 50s Hollywood and the underbelly of L.A., kind of on some Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but a little bit before that, definitely go and check out The Fade Out down at Oblivion Comics and Coffee.
All right. Thank you for bringing that back. That's our show, ladies and gentlemen. Emma Skies, I want to start with you because you recently had a birthday stream.
Yes.
And I guess it went well.
It did go very well. Yeah, birthday stream went very well. Last night's stream went very well. We hit 100 subscribers.
Nice.
Fucking
nice.
That's awesome. Crazy.
And you didn't even have to sell your bed?
Didn't even have to sell my bed, guys. My bed is still in my room. It's still there. It's still very comfortable. I still sleep well.
All right. Yeah. Well, congratulations. That's no small feat. Are you going to celebrate that anyway?
Yeah, on the, I mean, we'll probably do a thing. I think on Sundays I'm going to start doing full plays. So, like, I'll pick games that only take, like, 6 hours or less or 8 hours or less to play, and we'll just play through an entire game.
That sounds fun.
So we'll do our first one this Sunday.
All right. And then do you have a stream schedule lined up?
Tomorrow I'm doing more Gears 5 at 5 p.m.
Pacific time?
Pacific Standard Time.
Okay.
And Friday at 1 p.m. I'm playing Wolfenstein.
All right. Kurt, you got a busy week. Starting with tomorrow, you're going to be over at CrockerCon. Tell us about what you got going on over there and all of your other endeavors.
Yeah, I'm going to be at CrockerCon tomorrow at the Crocker Art Museum downtown Sacramento. Once a year, Eben Burgoon, I believe is his last name, puts on CrockerCon. It's just a great opportunity for all the artists and creatives within Sacramento to come together and network, hang out, catch up. We got people like Nooligan, who's one of my favorite artists. He's from down here. If any of you guys follow my stream, you've probably seen my San Diego Comic-Con edition Nightwing toy that he did with DC.
Hey.
It's incredible. He also did the art and the banner that's up at Oblivion Comics and Coffee.
Yeah, on the wall there.
Yeah.
He is a very unique style.
Yes, he does have a unique style. So I'll be there. Justin Greenwood, who is the artist for Stumptown, which is premiering on ABC here in a few weeks with Colby Smulders in the lead. He'll be there as well. So and he's from out here. He's local. So we Chris Marinin, who drew Deadpool and Nova for a long time, as well as Ron Lim, who drew Infinity Gauntlet, which gave us Infinity War and Endgame.
Yeah.
All from the 916 local. So make sure you guys go down there and check it out.
Oblivion will be down there too.
Oblivion will be down there. Yeah. That's right. Laura did say she'll be down there. So come and check them out, and you can talk to me about the Fade Out. And then for me, I've been doing a lot of stuff on the Sacktown Breakdown. We just had Leo Biaz from Cowbell Kingdom. He actually hit us up and was like, hey, I want to come on your podcast.
Hey, there you go. Yeah, Cowbell Kingdom is like the number one fan site for the Sacramento Kings. That's where they're breaking all the local news. It's a great website.
Exactly. So he came on and talked about all of the efforts over in the Bahamas that Buddy Hield is doing for the Hurricane Dorian relief.
Nice.
I donated $12, what I could. Anybody who can, look up Buddy Hill's GoFundMe for Hurricane Dorian relief in the Bahamas, and please donate or just retweet the link. And you know, it's devastation, so we want to be there for those people. And outside of that, I'll just be on my stream, and I'll be on Video Game Bang stream playing some Ultimate Alliance 3 Black Order.
Let's go. David Webb, what you been going on, man?
Just grinding over at Vast. We got a stream team going on now, so you can check us out over at twitch.tv/VastGG, streaming every night. And we got some content creators on our team, so it's looking good.
I love stuff. I saw a segment, content creators and influencers are my favorite words of 2019, but you know how they have driving in cars with comedians or whatever?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I saw one called Influencers in Cars Getting Nuggets or something like that. And I was like, this is 2019, everybody.
That's 2019 content.
So check out Vast. And the San Francisco Shock, man, we got an event. I'm going to be plugging this pretty much every damn week because it's the biggest thing I've ever been a part of, and I'm super nervous and excited and all those things about it. But we have two big events coming up in the Bay Area in 2020. It's going to be one at the Cow Palace in March and one in July on my birthday weekend in San Jose. It's live Overwatch. We're bringing in the best teams from around the country, and we're going to have just a giant freaking party. And hopefully we'll be able to bring home the Grand Finals Championship because, yes, the San Francisco Shock are still holding it down in playoffs, making their lower bracket run. Their first match is tonight. So if you want to watch it and get invested, it's super awesome, man. This is playoff season is special because the storylines mean more. You got these guys playing their hearts out. Last week, I don't know if you guys saw it, but it was pretty crazy and stirred up a lot of controversy because there's this team called the Shanghai Dragons.
Yeah.
I mean, not Shanghai Dragons. Sorry, the Seoul Dynasty. They have one of the most popular OG players named Ryo Jaehong. And everybody, the meme is that he's sexy because he just is. And at the end, what they started doing in playoffs is interviewing the losing teams behind the stage. And it was the most real moment I'd seen in Overwatch League so far where they agreed to do the interview, went back there, and he had to fight back tears and he just started crying. Like, it was the most crazy thing. And then, of course, kids these days don't know how to react, so it spawned a huge debate of, like, that's unfair. Why would they make him do that? And he agreed to do it.
Yeah.
And he was showing emotion. Like, to me, that's why I watch sports.
Yeah.
I hate it when they don't care.
Yeah. We want them to care. We want them to show that raw emotion. They put, like, those people, those kids, those young people, they put hours, blood, sweat, and tears into what they're doing in their profession to get it right and be the elite and be the best.
Yeah.
Like, they have the right to wear their heart on their sleeve if they've tried all they could and they came up short. We need more of that. We need exactly. more of that vulnerability.
I thought that was great for the sport in general. And it, you know, it, and I'm sure it gained new fans for them because even me, like, I respected Ryo Jaehong, but I was never like a huge fan. I saw that, and now anytime I see that guy going forward, it's like I know what that guy's. He cares.
Yeah, you know what he's made of.
Anyways, all that to say, playoff season, man, it's super, super exciting right now. You can watch it on twitch.tv/Overwatch League, and it'll be going on all over the weekend, Disney XD and ESPN. So, big times. Thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode. For Emma Skies, the real David Webb, Curtis Fisher, my name is Corey Sang. You've just been banged.